The enemies of a man are those of his own household. I've had more problems out of my relatives, my friends, my neighbors, and those within my own spiritual ranks than anybody else. More problems. I go out on the field, and the people gladly hear and gladly receive me. They don't sit in my services, surmise and find fault. They gladly hear. They don't understand a lot of times, but they gladly hear. Their spirit's witness that they gladly hear and gladly receive. There's one thing that I don't want, and that is a David Terrell follower and an Oral Roberts follower and a T.L. Osborne follower, because they belong to T.L. Osborne and they belong to David Terrell and they belong to the others. And I have trouble when them kind of folks come in here. They expect me to do like they do, and I'll never do it because I wasn't called for that. That's their ministry. And if you want to shout and jump and dance and do the things they do, whatever. Of course, Brother Roberts don't do that. He's got another way of doing. But if you want to do it his way, then God will bless you if you do it the way that you feel to do it, if it's God's way. God raised those men up, and there's no need of you spending your life here making me miserable and you miserable when you are trying to make a David Terrell out of me or an Oral Roberts out of me or a Billy Graham out of me, because I'm not one of those. I'm not one of those. Now, if you're looking for a son of God, I'll be glad to help you. I'll be glad to do what I can. I say, well, don't you believe they're sons of God? I didn't say that. You must have been thinking that because I didn't say that. So don't put your thoughts on me unless they're godly thoughts. All right. Now, I love you and I appreciate you and I'd like for you to come and be with us. And even though that old sour, evil, contrary spirit is broken after all, yet there's a sister that's deeply hurt. But I can't help it. If she would line up with God and shake that thing off once and for all, a couple of them that's here, then she wouldn't have to go through that. But there's one thing she's got to learn is she can't control the preacher with her thoughts. She might as well to get used to that. You're just not going to do it, and you might as well to come in and give your thoughts to him or stay home, because he's the controlling factor in the church. If he wasn't, God wouldn't have put him there. Same way with some of the brethren I got here. If you're going to try to control the preacher, you might as well stay home, because you're going to run into God, because God's going to control you through the preacher. He's not going to control it the other way, so you might as well humble down. There's some of you that have never in your whole life surrendered your will to anybody until you come here. And you didn't want to surrender it here, but you run into God and you couldn't do nothing else. Some of you would have never have surrendered it to me, but when you run into God, you saw that it was either surrender or God would tear you into pieces. And it's so. You either surrender to this or God will tear you into pieces. That's up to you. You don't come here and play the hypocrite and run off, tell Brother Pike how much you think of him and run off and pull little strings out you and get by with it. The first news you know, they'll have you down at the morgue. Because this is God. You know, this is God here, and we're doing something for God. And too late, some of you are finding out that it is God, and it's not Brother Pike's gimmick. Now, when you mess with it, then you mess with God. You mess with God. The Bible said, swear to your own hurt and change not. And them that are given to change, that we're not to mess with those kind of people. See, and you're not to be given to change. You're not to come into the sanctuary with one frame of mind today and another frame of mind tomorrow. You're to come in with thanksgiving. There's one frame of mind. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come in with a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of rejoicing in the Lord, a spirit of expectation, a spirit of loving Brother Pike and expecting him to help you. Now somebody said, well, I just can't do that. Well, you need to go somewhere else. And the quicker you do, the better off I'll be and the better off the people will be. If you can't do it, don't come here, because you're just going to get in trouble with God. It just causes problems. The book of Daniel, if you've got your Bible, I'd like for you to read with me, and I want to talk with you just a little bit. I love you folks. I really do from my heart. But I know some of you is as cunning as a fox. You're just as foxy as you can be. And you think you're so smart and crafty that you got Brother Pike right where you want him. But you haven't. I got you right where I want you. That's right. You just think you got me where you want me. But God's already showed me you and what you're up to and what your plans are. He shows it to me by night in visions. And then He reveals it to me in the daytime. And I see you. I know who you are and I know what you're doing. He showed me exactly what you're doing. That's right. Even while I was on this trip, He gave me a vision and showed me what was going on back here while I was off on the trip. So He tells me and He shows me. All right. You say, well, I had a dream too. Well, that's fine. If you had a dream, that's good. Not nothing to say about it. Say, well, I think it's God and it's about you. Well, that's all right. Just be sure that it's from God, that's all. So I know it's God. Well, that's all right. Just be sure. The Bible speaks of all kind of dreamers. Just be sure. If you're sure, then that's all right. That's all right. But if you're just guessing, you better be careful. The book of Daniel, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Hashpenza, the master of his eunuch, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the potion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank thereof. He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the potion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the potion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the potion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. I'd like to talk with you just a few minutes on some things. and see just what the Lord will say to us or where He will lead us in our thoughts tonight. Now, you know, when you read about men living off of pulse and being healthier than the others who were fed the very best of food, it makes you realize even the more that God is all-powerful and that God can do anything He wants to. Isn't that right? Now, in the day we're living in, we worry about vitamins, and that's good. That's fine to have vitamins and whatever you can. To have vitamins and all kind of things, you know, to build our health up and to keep us in good shape. But I'll tell you what, right here, there is a lesson that's seen that is so outstanding that if we could get a hold of it, we'd never have to worry anymore about anything else. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, the children, the Hebrew children and Daniel, rather than choosing to eat of the king's meat and defile themselves in that the Jews was under a strict diet, you remember? They couldn't eat just anything anybody else could eat. You remember that? Moses put them under a strict diet. Rather than violating the word of God, they took a chance in losing their lives and trusted God to make their bodies to be as the king would have it to be at the end of the 3 years. Is that right? So then it is obvious here that what they did, instead of choosing reasoning and instead of leaning to the educational side of life and their own reasoning and what in that which the king had tried to indoctrinate them, instead of doing that, they leant toward faith in God. And they said, by faith, try us for 10 days, and by faith we'll prove to you that God will take care of us and that all of the things that you need is not in the king's meat but in faith in God. Now to me that's a great thing, how that God down through the ages has manifested again and again the wonderful act of faith. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, when Paul refers back to it, and Peter, and all the great writers, as they refer back to the days of old, always in the life of those people, they found the faith of God always outstanding above everything that was ever done. You know, people think they're smart today. You know, they got what they call science, the word science being knowledge. But you notice here that the old king called for them that was learned in science. Even way back there, education's nothing new, is it? It's just the same old tree of knowledge that men trust in, and the problems that every preacher has, if he's a God-called man, is out of those people that trust in their own intellectual reasoning. The same educational system that was back there in the garden that overthrew Adam and Eve, that same old human reasoning, that same old human mind is in existence today, and it's the power of Satan that works through it, and he is constantly hindering the move of God and trying to stop God from winning souls. That same evil spirit, if he can find somebody that likes to eat good and regular, you know, the devil likes for you to eat regular. He don't like for you to fast much, unless you're a witch, you know, unless you're some kind of wizard or something. But he likes for you to eat real good, so you'll be real fleshly, real carnal-minded, and all of your life is filled with reasoning, that when you go to the house of God, that devils and demons can work in that mind of yours like maggots in a dead dog to hinder the work of God. That don't sound very appetizing, does it? I can't help it because I'm countrified. Amen. You love the Lord? So then, the Hebrew children chose God's way, and Daniel chose God's way, and because they chose to pray and to fast and to seek God, the Bible said that they came up with great wisdom. They came forth with great wisdom. And in that wisdom, it wasn't an educational system like some of you come up with. A lot of people come up with wisdom, but it's worldly wisdom. But they came up with a God wisdom that so excelled the wisdom of the astrologers and of the wise men
that it was stated that they were 10 times in understanding what the greatest of the astrologers was. 10 times. That makes me feel better, don't you? A lot of these people has got PhDs, and a lot of them's got great educations, you know, professors and bankers and lawyers. They love to feel like that God's people is a bunch of ignoramuses. But if we could take an IQ test, you know, they'd find out that we was 10 times what they are. 10 times when they get their PhD or whatever they've got, they'd find out in a measurement that the children of God are 10 times. You know, now wait just a minute. When we say 10 times, we're talking about the Old Testament. We have to do better than that. That was 10 times before Jesus ever got here. Amen, that's right. It's far greater than that now. Well, 10 times, you couldn't even measure it 10 times now because the Holy Ghost is here. So then when we learn to trust God and learn to believe God, then we're just then getting in place to serve God and prove God to the people. You know, you've got to prove God to the people. You've got to do something to prove God to the people. Now, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and I know that operating in the gifts of the Spirit, that proves God to the people. But I want you to know there's something else that proves God to the people, and that's living an overcoming life before people. Living the right kind of life, testifying to the right kind of thing, and testifying to what you live is a great proof to the people. It's far more proof to the people than spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are not equally proof to the people of Christ in you, the way that overcoming, living an overcoming life is. The Bible tells us that you are an epistle that's known and read of all men. God ordained you to be an epistle, to be known of all men, to be read of all men, to be a light, to so let your light shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If the church world today would get away from following after spiritual gifts, following after big tents, and following after television programs, and following after fame and popularity and money, and get down to praying and seeking God and calling on the Lord, and come down to wanting to live a clean, holy, upright life before God, then the church would blossom and bloom again. If they'd get to the place to where they would take Paul's advice and follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts rather than following after spiritual gifts and denying charity. If they'd start following after the love of God and every individual, I think about it like this. If every individual in little Bethlehem would forget about Brother Pike, forget about your neighbor, and forget about how much you'd like to see that fella get straightened out, and start thinking about your fella, you and yours and who you are, and realize how much you need to get straightened out, and start straightening your life out, and spend all of your time trying to straighten your life out, then I wonder what Bethlehem would be like. Hallelujah. I wonder what Bethlehem would be like if we took stock tonight and every one of you that's been trying to figure out what's wrong with me would take the rest of the night trying to figure out what's wrong with you, and every one of you would go home from here tonight and spend the rest of your time to the next service trying to correct the disorders that you find in your life. And when I say find in your life, I don't mean by your reasoning, but I mean take the Word of God and judge yourself and examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith of the Word of God. And judge yourself by the Word of God. And spend the rest of your time until the next meeting examining yourself by the Word of God. I wonder what kind of service we would have when we come back to little Bethlehem. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, it would be all right. We'd love to hear you preach if you'd get up there and give us something. I don't have anything to give you. How can I give you something when I don't have anything to give you? I don't have anything to give you. Somebody said, praise God, I knew it all the time. Well, if you'd asked me, I'd have told you a long time ago. Saved you a lot of trouble. I don't have anything to give you. God has nothing for hypocrites. But now, for them that hear my voice, Jesus said, that's willing to follow me. Christ has something for you tonight. Hallelujah. And God will give it to you. If we're willing to pray and willing to fast and willing to follow God, then God has something for them that are his sheep. For the sheep of his pasture, he said, I will give you the desires of your heart. You will lack no good thing if you walk up right before me. The Bible said, I'll give you beauty for ashes and you can rejoice forevermore. Hallelujah. You don't have to trust in your income. You don't have to trust in the food. It doesn't matter if they put you on pulse. You'll still turn out better than the rest. Hallelujah. You can sit down and not work one day and turn out better than the rest of them if you're trusting God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'll just quit work, you know. No, I'm not talking about that now. Not talking about going on strike. But I'm talking about people that don't have anything to do. People that can't find anything to do. If God hasn't given them anything, if there's nothing open to them, they can sit down and not move from where they're at, and God will feed them with the very best. Somebody said, I don't believe it. But I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the believers. The Bible said that Elijah was over there by the brook, and when Elijah got hungry, God sent the ravens and fed him. When he got hungry, God sent him something to eat. He didn't move from the brook. He didn't go looking for it. God told him to go there, and God took care of him when mealtime come. Hallelujah. And God still does the same thing, folks. God takes care of me when mealtime comes. I never have to worry about mealtime. God takes care of me. When the bills will be paid, God takes care of them. Hallelujah. So then God will do the same thing for you, because God is no respecter person. I was talking to Brother Cantrell today, and Brother Cantrell had really went down, 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 right down to rock bottom, right down to the bottom. But when he told him that God was going to pick him up, that at this time we spoke of the revelation of his life and what God was doing with him, why he had to go down, and that God was going to pick him up, and how that God will elevate him and give him back that which he'd lost. So then he went on for a few weeks. Everything looked like it was going to fall through after we said it. He said, the devil's giving me a hard way to go. I said, the devil ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, God said it. If God said it, it's got to come to pass. Hallelujah. Don't make no difference what the devil said. God said it, folks. So he come back today and he reported the victory. He said, I got my first two loans through. Said, I've already approved them and I'm fixing to start my houses. Back in the building business. God did it. Hallelujah. He said he didn't have any money, he didn't have any credit, he didn't have nothing. But God put him back. See, it's God's word. It don't take the king's meat. It can live off a pulse and still turn out better. Brother Cantrell said, I don't have any money. But I said, I don't have anything to do with it. God said it. And he said, but he don't have any credit. I said, but God said it. And God did it. Hallelujah. God did it. All the promises of God are yea and amen. If he'll walk right before God and do the things that God wants him to do, God will do 10 times 10 that for him. But I've already seen it. And brethren, if you will do right before God, God will raise you up and give you the desires of your heart. God said to David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote, and I've given you a name like unto the great men of the earth. I've elevated you and raised you up. And I blessed you. And God's no respecter person. If you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and quit trying to swindle people, cheat people, lie to people, and deceive people, and get right with God and look to God instead of people, God will pick you up. Hallelujah. God will bless you. You don't have to be a man. You can be a woman. God bless women. There's been women that's been raised up to great heights. Amen. Paul spoke of honorable women. He spoke of great women. A lot of women say, well, I'm limited. A woman's not limited. She's got faith in God just like a man has. She can believe in God. Back then in the Old Testament, there was women that didn't try to be protruding. Women that humbled themselves under the hand of God, was willing to come under the leadership of men. But God gave them the wisdom that men came to them and asked advice because they were in touch with God. Hallelujah. Because they believed God. They didn't have to go around and say, I'm called to preach, try to force themselves into some church to act up and to show themselves off to get a meal ticket. God will bless you. If you are a woman, God will bless you if you believe. If you are a man, God will bless you if you believe. But folks, let me tell you something. If you spend your life with an old devil of resentment, resenting the pastor, resenting your neighbor, resenting your fellow man, resenting your creditors because they want you to pay your debts, you'll never be anything but somebody to lay around in the ditch, lay around somebody, cause people problems and find fault all the time. Come on, folks. But when God gets a hold of you, when God begins to move in your heart, you get sweet like honey. Hallelujah. All the old bitterness begins to get out of you. All the old cunningness begins to get out of you. All the old crackiness begins to get out of you. And the first news you know, you find yourself thinking after this fashion. God, I don't want to do anybody any harm. Lord, why did I think that thought? God, let me be honest. Let me do what's right, God. There's been times in my life I'd want to give an automobile away. Maybe some little something would be wrong. And God would say, before you give this automobile away, you go get it fixed. Come on, folks. God would say to me, you go get the thing straightened out. And I'd think, well, Lord, I drove it like this the whole time I had it. But he'd say, now you don't want to give me the halt, the lame, and the blind, do you? No, sir. So I'd go get it straightened out. I'd spend I don't know how much money on it to get it straightened out, to give it to somebody that they might get service out of it. And the very individual that I gave it to, I knew good and well they was trying to tear me down when I gave it to them. And knew that it was just going to help them do a better job when they got it. But I still gave it to them. Why do you do that? Because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. God shows his light. That's a light, my brother. When you give to the unjust, when you pour out your love upon the unjust, and when you do good to them that do evil to you, that's the love of God. When you do something to somebody that you know is going to do something for you, that's not the love of God. When you do something to somebody because you think they think a lot of you, that's not the love of God. When you do something for yourself and for your family, that's not the love of God. That's human love. But when you love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you, and pray for them that persecute you, that's the love of God. That's the light. That's the light the world is looking for. The Bible said if you give to them of whom you hope to receive, what reward have you? But if you give to them when you know good and well that they are doing you evil, then that's the love of God. And that's what I want is the love of God. I believe what Paul said in following after charity. The Bible said old brother Daniel won favor with that leading man down there. Old Joseph down in the dungeon, he won favor. The Hebrew children, they put them down in the flames, but they won favor with the flames, and the flames wouldn't burn them. They put Daniel down in the lion's den, but he won favor with the lions, and the lions wouldn't eat him. Amen. Hallelujah. They put Jesus down in the flames of hell, and he won favor with the flames of hell, and the flames of hell wouldn't burn him. Hallelujah. Why? Because God was in his life. Amen. God was moving in the life of Christ. And God was moving in the life of Daniel. God was moving in the life of the Hebrew children. And God's moving in my life tonight. I love Christ tonight because he's in my life. I like the scripture that Paul and I was discussing today. And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. You know who his Christ is? We're his Christ. We're his Christ. Amen. The Lord is Jesus. We know that. One Lord. But when the Holy Ghost came back into you and I, that was the Christ returning. And tonight, we're God's Christ tonight. We're God's membership of his body tonight with Christ within us. We're God's Christ, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. I like that, don't you? So then God wants to prove us. When we get a chance to be tested, what do? We compromise. The first thing we do, God gave Daniel a chance to be tested. He could have denied God, and he could have went on like he was, but he didn't do that. He could have eaten the king's meat and violated the ordinance of God, but he wouldn't do that. The Hebrew children could have bowed down to the image, but they wouldn't do that. They knew it was a testing time. Folks, there is a testing time in your life, but I don't see you doing what the Hebrew children did. Amen. I've seen testing times. I've seen people cross your grain. I've been present when they would do it. And the testing time would come, but you didn't show them the love of God. I saw you fuss with them and argue with them and dispute with them. I've seen the time when God would have a need here in little Bethlehem. He gave you a chance to do something about it. And he put you to the test. But you didn't do anything about it, did you? You let the others carry the load, didn't you? Come on, that's what you did. You let the others carry the load. But you didn't keep your money, did you? Brother Pike said you'd spend it for hospital bills and whatever. You didn't keep your money, did you? You didn't lay up treasures in heaven either, did you? They don't have their substance, but you don't have treasures in heaven, and you don't have your money either. The Bible said a fool and his substance is soon parted. Who is a fool? Anybody that holds back from God's a fool. The Bible said, give of that which you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. You love the Lord? So then it's not obeying the king of this world or the kings of this world. It's not going the way of the educational system. That's not the right way. It's not trying to provide for you and your little family. That's not the right way. But it's going God's way. It's following the word of God. It's swearing to your own heart and denying your own self and giving yourself to be spit upon, to be mocked, to be ridiculed. That's God's way. That's Christ in your life. When you do that, that's the way Jesus does. Jesus doesn't have a temper every time the daughter-in-law crosses. You understand what I'm talking about? Every time a mother-in-law crosses a daughter-in-law, you understand? Not to be a temper. Every time the daughter, the mother, the father, the son, every time they can't get along, fly up, say something. Every time two brothers come together in the men's meeting down here, fly up at each other. Come on. Every time somebody rubs you wrong, you fly up at somebody. Is that right? Every time you don't make the money that you think you ought to make, you accuse everybody and get all out of sauce. Give you plenty of money, good car to ride in, all the convenience. Don't rub you wrong, you do pretty good. You think you got the victory. Take it all away from you and put you down to the cross and put you to the hardships. Let somebody start rebuking you a little bit and reproving you a little bit. Let you have to get your nose to the grinding stone and you backslide. You don't have the victory anymore. But I thank God for men like Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, put him to the test. Hallelujah. The three Hebrew children was thrown in the fire. But you know what they said? When the king told those Hebrew children, said, you'll bow down to this image or you'll burn. They said, king, we want to say something to you. We want to say something to you. Said, we want you to know one thing, king, that the God that we are acquainted with and the God that we're trusting in is able to keep that fire from burning us. He's able to deliver us out of your hands, O king. But we want you to know something else. If he doesn't choose to do it, that we'll still trust him. Whether he chooses to do it or not, we will still trust him. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether God delivers us or not, we still believe in it. The Bible said when they throwed him in there, the man that throwed him in was killed because of the blast of the furnace. It was so hot. There ain't no scientifically way to figure it out through the educational system, is it? They try to figure out the miracles and try to sidestep everything God ever said or done. But the Bible said that the furnace was so hot, 7 times hotter than usual. And that when that hot blast come out of there, it killed the men that throwed them in that just got close to the door. Is that right? But the Bible said when the old king from a distance looked over into the fire, he said, did not we throw 3 men in there? He said, but I see 4, and one is like the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see 4 of them and said they're unharmed, and they're not bound, and they're walking around loose in the fire. Said, and one of them's like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, get them out of there. Hallelujah. I wonder who could have got them out of there. Wasn't no way to get them out of there. Get them out of there. The only thing to do is shut the furnace off. Seven times hotter, you'd have to wait till it cooled off to even got close to it then. But I'll tell you one thing. When they come out of there, the Bible said the smell of fire wasn't even on their garments. The old king was so tore up, instead of worshiping the king worshiped them. And the king fell down before him and said, there's one thing about it. I've made a decree and I'm changing the whole situation. I'll tell you what, if somebody would pay your bills, come on.
Amen.
If you'd pay your bills and give the right kind of testimony up here to your creditors, when God puts you to the test, if you'd do a little better when somebody has a temper fit and rises up against you, if you wouldn't rise up against them, God put you to the test, you could have the same testimony. The old kings and I'm changing the whole thing. Said from now on we're going to set up a new God. And said it's going to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. And said, I'll tell you what, said the man that don't worship that God, I'll make his house into a dunghill. Hallelujah. Passed a new government. Had a new policy. Amen. Begin to trust in something they could understand. Why? Because they prove their God. What little Bethlehem needs to do is prove our God. Let's prove our God to them. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how do you mean, Brother Pike? How are we going to prove God to them? By calling somebody out and say, I think you got a side ache. It ain't there. No, it's down here. Well, it's back there somewhere. Come on, folks. No, not playing a guessing game. But I mean live right before God. And if God really shows you something, then bring it out. If God doesn't, keep your mouth shut. Don't play a guessing game. What God reveals to you, make known. What God don't reveal to you, then don't try to make it known. Because you don't know it. God use you, that's good and well. Pray that God will use you. Let me tell you something. If you play a guessing game, after a while, somebody's going to find it out. The Bible said, he that boasts himself of a false gift like a well without any water, when time comes to produce, he can't do it. But if you'll speak sober things and you'll come into the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God, you'll see the healings that you want to see. And you'll see the understanding that you want to see. And you'll be able to understand local and national and international and everything else in their affairs. You can, because the Bible said that God came to give Daniel skill. When Daniel went into that vision, he said, Daniel, I have heard your prayer and you're beloved in the sight of God, and I've come to give you skill and understanding. When the Bible speaks of them being put on the pulse, again it said, I've come to give them skill and understanding in the knowledge of God. God wants us to be skillful. God wants us to be full of understanding. Not to put on a sideshow and do a dance for folks. I saw it. If you get caught up in the spirit and dance, that's fine. I liked to got to dancing the other night. That's right. It wouldn't took that much for me to just dance just with all my might. I've done it before. But when God moves, not to make it a practice because people like it. You know, if you get out there and dance, somebody will start clapping their hands. Hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. And they get in a ritualistic like some of them did in the Brother Allen move. Some of the others, you get to dance, and every time you come out, you know that that'll stir up the people, so you start hopping and skipping. But as far as the knowledge of God and understanding of God and skill of God and bringing people into the knowledge and grace of God and letting them grow up into the fullness of Christ, they don't know nothing when they come out of there. They have a healing line and push people through it. Shove them and get everybody excited and screaming and hollering, and everybody's thinking 50,000 miracles is taking place, and they do good if they get a toothache healed when it's all over. I know I've been through those things. But there is some real, genuine things that God's doing and God's fixing to do. Hallelujah. God's fixing to do some real, genuine things. That reminds me, Brother Terrell said he saw a vision the other night. Just comes to my mind. And said in this, he did see God start doing some things. A great fire broke out in the land. That's right. Said a great fire broke out into the land, and he saw legs restored and arms restored. And great things began to take place. God said, I will restore. That's a real, genuine. We don't have to go through a guessing game to get it. And I'll tell you something, folks. I'll sit back and stay silent. If it can't be genuine, then I don't want any part of it. I don't want it. I don't want this playboy thing and a bunch of showmanship. I don't want that. I done found out there's a real thing, and I want the real thing, and God's give it to me. Hallelujah. And I want my people to have the real thing. There's nothing I like better than prophecy and speaking in tongues and interpretation when it's motivated by the Spirit. But since the Spirit of God has lived from mankind and from the church in the last few years, we've had everything that from I don't know what to I don't know what. Amen. We've had shoestrings sold and holy water and powder puffs and everything they could get their hands on. In Mango Rivers, what it was. Even take a tambourine, take the little old pieces out of the tambourine, give them to people. That's right. Supposed to be specially anointed. Anything to work a miracle. Blood on their heads and blood in their hands and all in their heads, all in their hands. That wasn't God. Somebody said, I believe it was God. Well, it wasn't God. It's not Bible. It wasn't God. But God does things according to the Holy Scriptures. All the dancing and hollering, shouting and running, jumping. That hasn't been God. What has it produced? It's produced a bunch of charismatics. If it's God, why did it produce the man child? Because it wasn't the Word. The Word of God will produce the man child. It wasn't the seed of Christ. It produced a lot of make-believe. I've been at the full gospel businessmen. I've spoke for them. I've seen people in there when a preacher would get up and say, shout, speak in tongues, all these kind of things. They'd start speaking in tongues and be bobbed off hair, lipstick, pantsuits, and everything else. You tell me that's God? Somebody said, well, all you got to do is have faith. My Bible tells me to be holy in body. My Bible tells me to be holy in body. Somebody said this is a spiritual thing. God said be holy in body. Paul said the purchased possession is the redemption of the body. That means the body's got to come out of the slop holes. It's got to get away from bob tying, lipstick and pantsuits, miniskirts and all this form-fitting junk that they put on. And they got to come into something that's the knowledge of God. What did that produce back there? It produced a bunch of charismatics. Now everybody believes they're Pentecostal. Even the Catholics going Pentecostal. The Catholics are beginning to believe in speaking in tongues. They're praising the charismatic move. The Baptists, the Methodists, all of them. I said years ago, that's what they'd do. I said that's what they'd do. Some of you don't know it because you wasn't with me when I said it. But it's on tape in some of the earliest statements. So then it produced a bunch of charismatics. If it was divine deliverance, if it was divine healing, that was the men that said, I think you got a pain in your back, a pain in your chest. I think you got this, and I think you got that. The same men done the very same thing. That's right. It didn't produce the seed of God because it wasn't God. It wasn't God. But I'll tell you what, God is real. God's real, genuine. God speaks to the membership of His body, and God will tell you things, and the Holy Ghost will show you things that's in people's lives. He will show you things in night visions and in open visions, and God will show you things in revelation, and God will heal the sick. God will do real, genuine things. But since the Spirit of God has been lifted in a great way from the church, they went into some kind of make-believe. But it's been a false thing. But brother, we're at the point right now to where God is fixing to pour out His Spirit in such a way and bringing the church in. It's going to be something like you've never seen in all the days of your life. Amen. God's going to give some real genuine things and some real genuine moves. And they that have waited upon God and not went after some of this Aaron kind of thing. Golden calves and a hoop and a holler. But has waited like Moses did in getting the Word of God and the understanding of God and in the travail of God. Those men are going to come forth and deliver the church. And all the other rubbish is going down the drain. Because that's what it is. Now, so then, in this hour, God's doing a new thing. I made a statement that sounds like a man's off at his head when I say this. But they picked up a dead man in the government, so to speak. Made him a 6-star general, Washington. Put him over the armies of the United States from now on. When he was living, 1775, you know, they made him the general over the armies. But who ever heard of picking up a dead man? You know what it is? Establishing something, a type, a shadow, a revelation. Washington was a type of the Spirit of truth. That brought us a new world. You understand what I'm saying? And then when America died out, spiritually, And the church died out. The Spirit had to withdraw because of the evils in the church, the evils in the government. Washington was taken out, so to speak. But right here at this very time, when God is resurrecting the church, bringing forth the Spirit of life, what did they do? The government makes Washington a 6-star general and him a dead man, and said he's over the armies from now on. Who's over the armies of God from now on? The Holy Spirit. What does it mean? When he made him a 6-star general, that means it's going back to the Jew. The number 6 is for man. The number 5 is for woman. How do you know that? Why, we ain't never had no 6-star generals. It's been 5-star generals. That's grace. Is that right? The 5-pointed star, that's grace. That's America. But in that they made a 6-pointed star, you understand what I'm saying? That's going back to Israel. That's going back to the moral perspective. That means the government of the United States has gone down the drain. The woman's day is over. The man-child is caught up to the throne. That means the thing is turning back to Washington. Back to Israel. Back to the Spirit of truth. The church is ready to come out of the dungeon. Amen. Washington dying, going down there. You remember the vision that he saw? He saw America go down. But then the angel of God appeared to him and he saw America come back up. And I said, that'll be the millennium. And here we are right at the break of this, right at the eve of this, and the new thing coming in right now. And all of a sudden they make him a general. That's something. I said, well, I don't understand that. You have to be down where the foolish are. Foolish and abased things of the world. You love the Lord? I thought about Brother T.L. Larry. Raising him up to general overseer. Got him almost up there, and the same man that they say that caused him to come off the field with his tent slipped in ahead of him and got to be general overseer of the Church of God. But God had his hand in it. Because just before they did that, Brother T.L. Larry had a tract translated into Greek for us. You understand what I'm saying? 364 A.D. You remember the split of the church? When the Greek Orthodox went one way and the papal system went this way in America? You remember that? That died out over there in the Greek, didn't it? In the Jew, that died out. But the Western papal continued on, didn't it? But now the woman part, the Western papal part is dying out. And now the Greek Orthodox is coming up. Is that right? And I thought about that. What a beautiful picture. There was T.L. Larry, supposed to be the church overseer. And if he was due to be it in God's sight, it didn't make any difference who they put in. He's still it. You follow me? But just before he went in, what did he do? He surrendered to Jesus' name. Somebody said, where do you get that? He knew that was a Jesus' name tract when he had it translated. If he did, that means that in his heart he believed in it. You follow me? Now then, if it changed over, he translated it to Greek. Is that right? That's what this little place represents right here. You say, what? The move of the Jew, the head of the nation. Going back to the Orthodox side of it. You follow me? The changing over, the woman's government going out, which the Church of God, the Trinity, represents, which is America, the 200 years of government being over. So then if the overseer that was due to be in there went under Jesus' name, then over here we got a new overseer. Surrender this, the Church of God going out. You say, where did he get that? The Church of God represents the tabernacle in the wilderness. Is that right? A religion in the intellectual reasoning of Trinity. You say, where do you get that? Just like Brother Shaw down here making that tent. What is it? The third generation. His granddaddy made tents and died. Church of God. His daddy made tents and died. Church of God. He makes tents. He's Church of God. But the other day when I talked to him about Jesus' name, it shook him up. And I told him, I said, Brother, God spoke to me and told me there's fixing to come a change in your life. That he's fixing to do a different thing. And I began to explain some things that God showed me he's going to do to him. And he shook up over it. What is it? God's making a change. The tabernacle in the wilderness. The making of the tents. That's what it had to do with. The going out of it. That's why Jesus speaks of this little body as being a tabernacle. Of being a tent. Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle. As long as we're in this tent, Peter spoke of it. You follow me? But that's going out. That's been the move all around. That's been the move on the field. But that white tent that's coming out there is that rain material and the fire is tight. Coming out. That wilderness thing is over. Now God's bringing up something. A real revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiled, the unleavened, hallelujah. Bringing that white tent out of there so that God can start a new move. So what are you talking about? Not muddy, but some clear water. Hallelujah. In other words, I see God doing something great and outstanding. It would take hours tonight to go into it, but what we did on this trip, being down there, what it had to do with, is an outstanding thing concerning Brother Blake, concerning the tent, concerning Douglas, concerning Waycross, concerning so many multiplied things. I'd have to write a book just on this one trip if I went to connecting things together. The Lord's doing something. I noticed that about this time out in Tucson, Arizona, God's doing something too. There's a Brother Hughes that's come up out there. You can call it coincidental or whatnot. But there's a Brother Hughes that's come up out there in Tucson. How do you believe in twins? Tucson. Coming up out there, he's over at the Catalina School, and he's having a meeting over there. Billy Paul's supposed to be there. We got an invitation to it. But out there, I see something great and outstanding that's taking place in that thing happening the way it's happening. Amen. So then, God is doing a new thing. A new thing. I saw a vision the other night where here around little Bethlehem, there was a lot of telephone poles, and there was a power line across the top of it. But the power line got cut. All of the telephone poles went down that was carrying the power line. And I saw new telephone poles coming up. And I saw brand new power lines ready to be run across the top of it. That means that some of you are losing out. Some of you are losing out. You remember the vision? I saw a vision where about a third of them or whatever it was began to drop out. I saw that. I spoke about the casting out of the red dragon. A third part of them went out with him. Watch what you're doing. Watch who indoctrinates you. Watch what's being said to you. Because if you're not careful, you'll be with the beast and you'll be with the carnal mind. And you'll find yourself on the wrong side of the tracks. So you better hold to your crown. You won't remember that. The Bible said, give the morning seed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you let them slip. You won't remember it. Because you that are fallen stars, you're going to fall. God's going to take you out there, and in a few days you come back here, you'll be resenting, you'll be in the same condition, you'll be finding fault. What I've said tonight will be in the back of your mind, you'll be forgot all about it. You say, how do you know? Because I've seen you do it so many times. You've got that nature. You can't get away from it. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. You need to run for your life. You need to get rid of that backbiting spirit, that gossiping tongue. The Bible said, he that backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the hill of God. You need to get rid of that thing. And you need to run for your life. And you need to make yourself remember the things that the preacher tells you. And remember the things that's taking place. And remember what we've said about little Bethlehem. And level off and straighten out one time and for all. The Bible said, swear to your own hurt and don't never change no more. Never. You know how to, that's hard, ain't it? You know, you swallow to your own hurt. You have to swallow it down. You have to swear to your own hurt. When the preacher says something you don't like, you just have to swallow it down. Say, I love him, Father. He's still God's man. That's right. When your brother says something you don't like, just say, I love him. God bless him. He's my brother. Amen. Not, God bless him. He's my brother. I love him. Not that. God bless him. He's my brother. I love him. Amen. I'll carry his hurt. I'll bear his wounds. I'll bear his stripe. Amen. I'll be wounded for his sake. I'll be afflicted for his sake. Stay in your place. Stay in your place. God's fixing to break the clay pitchers. How many of you know that? Stay in your place. I said the other day concerning Gideon and the men, if we all stand in our place, stand hand in hand. Look, folks, there's one thing we got to do. You got to remember this. The Bible said we've got to see eye to eye. If I'm the pastor of Little Bethlehem and I'm right, then you're going to have to line up with my eyes, my vision. That's right. Now, if I ain't the pastor here, if God didn't put me here to pastor, then we all must be crazy because I've been here. Is that right? And none of us has good sense because we can't even believe what we saw. But if he put me here and I've been here, so he must have put me here. He stood behind me. Then that means that we've got to see eye to eye. We've got to speak the same thing. We've got to walk hand in hand. We can't break ranks. See eye to eye. See eye to eye. Walk hand in hand. Walk hand in hand. Not break ranks. Can't break ranks. You understand? Soldiers don't break ranks when they're marching. They don't break ranks. You got to see eye to eye. Speak the same thing. Speak the same thing. Overseers, you're going to have to speak the same thing Brother Pike speaks. Is Somebody said, but what if you don't speak the word of God? Then overseers, you're supposed to come and tell me. You're supposed to come tell me. You got to speak the same thing that I speak. And followers, you got to speak the same thing the overseers speak. Come on. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in overseers. Well, the Bible said, taking the oversight over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. How do you know that the Holy Ghost makes overseers? Now, you might not like the word overseer, but the Holy Ghost likes it, so he made them overseers. You know what overseers is? Overlookers. They can see over you. You understand? Overseers. They can see beyond you. They can see farther than you, and they're overseers. Now, I'm not talking about a bunch of man-made overseers that can't even see what some of you see. All they can see is your pocketbook. But I'm talking about men that can see God, that has enough inside of God, that can see over you like a mother over a child, that can see farther ahead, and that can watch for the dangers and keep you in line and help you. That's an overseer. That's a Holy Ghost overseer, ordained of God. So then tonight, we need to follow the word of God, speak the same thing, see eye to eye, not break ranks. And when we do that in little Bethlehem, it'll be like Pentecost when they were all in one mind. The Holy Ghost will come and we'll see some things moving in God. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The Lord is doing something. Now, if he can't do it in little Bethlehem, he's still going to do it. Remember that. If I come here, if I can't stir you up and make you hungry and make you to get in and go after something for God, then I'll just step out you under the outer courts, and God will redeem the outer courts, and they're going to be stirred for God. That's right. You're talking about being stirred. You ain't seen nothing out there yet. Somebody said, well, bless God, when I get out there, I'll shout with them out there, you hypocrite. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you call me a hypocrite. If you're a hypocrite, I did. What other title could you give a hypocrite but a hypocrite? So then you say, what do you mean? I mean, if you can get out there and shout in my meetings out there, have a good time out there, you are a hypocrite. If you can't do it in little Bethlehem, you're a hypocrite. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I mean, you're just a reflector. When God gets things stirred up out there, you're just a hypocrite, and you just reflect the good feeling, that's all. You reflect the good things that the children, when the children are getting the milk. But back here, when you can carry the load and really get down to business and live for God, you're not doing it. You don't have a clear conscience, and you can't get in and really enjoy it and be stirred up for God and really bring something out for the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Hypocrites. That's why Jesus called them hypocrites. But I'll tell you, when you got something for God, my brother, you can be a witness on the home front. You can be a witness out there. You can be joyful here. You can be joyful out there. The Bible said rejoice at little Bethlehem. Come on. Said rejoice forevermore. Is that right? Not just to the meetings out there, but rejoice at little Bethlehem. Rejoice forevermore. You love the Lord? It's like a woman. She's a long, drug out, sour faith around a husband, let another man or two get along, you know, and it looks pretty good to her, and she gets all perked up, and she's just so loving and sweet to her husband, and she wants to be right there in the middle of all of them. The hypocrite. You need to tell her to get out of there. Shut them out. Come on, folks. She needs to get out of there and shut them out. She's got a devil of lust. You need to get out around them. If she had a real joy and a love, she'd be happy and joyful around you. That's right. It's a devil of lust that stirs her up. Somebody say amen or oh me. I'm still preaching the gospel. All right. Let's stand together. I appreciate you tonight. I love you. And I want to do something to help you if I can. I'd like to lead you on into some things of God. There's a lot of deep mysteries of God that we haven't been able to bring out at Bethlehem that I'd love to be able to bring out. I don't know that I'll ever get to bring it out. Told some of the brethren the other day, I get so moved. Sometimes I get so burdened. The wonderful, deep, mysterious things of God that I want so much to share with my brethren. And I get to thinking, I say, oh Lord, I'll never be able to do it. I'll never be able to bring it to them. There's no need of worrying about it. I'll never be able to do it. And then I said, oh, Brother Pike, you can't talk like that. You got to. I come and struggle and strain and do everything I can. And like somebody said the other day, said, Brother Pike went down to Douglas and said things down there that he never brought out at little Bethlehem. Brother Bill said, my land, said he brought out things as far deeper than that. Said, we got them on tape up there. What is dull of hearing? See what it is, I try to teach you here and I try to talk to you soberly here, and you can't get it. When I get out there to feed them little babies, I have to I have to really get stirred up, you know, because there's a bunch of babies out there. And to get the milk down, I've got to really get stirred up and get there with them. And then, of course, you act like a little baby. You say, Brother Pike, because I get happy and rejoice, is that acting like a baby? No, you ought to do that. A good mother and daddy, if a little old kid throws a ball, you'll laugh and giggle and catch it and throw it back to him. Play with him. That's right. But the only thing is, you don't have to be a hypocrite. You don't have to have a long, sour face around Bethlehem. The Word of God's in Bethlehem too. How do you know that? Enter into His courts with thanksgiving. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When we come here, let's praise God. Come here expecting something. Don't just come here and say, well, I wonder what's going to be tonight. Don't do that. You come here expecting something. God is going to do something, folks. He's already doing it. A lot of you miss it. But He's going to do something even in a greater way than what He's already done. We've had so many run-by-nights and fly-by-nights to come through here, preachers and everything else. So many parasites, He's had to weed them out and get rid of them, just coming through for an offering or coming through for some kind of sham or conniving thing instead of having God's people at heart. God's just now getting rid of some of that stuff. Fixing to move and do something for the church now. He's fed the parasites long enough. Have you know that? God's fed the parasites for hundreds of years now. He's getting tired of it. He's fixing to bring the church in. The Bible said the bread's for the children, isn't it right? So He's fixing to give some of it to the children. I know I've took a long time tonight, but I felt like talking with you a little bit and sharing a few things with you. I wonder if we can sing a chorus together. Tonight, as I look around, numbers of people that are not here in Little Bethlehem tonight, what's the matter? What's the trouble? How do you know this is the home front? This is where we ought to be laboring together. We ought to be getting together here doing something, folks. I talk straight with you here on the home front. Of course, I talk straight out on the field. If you've been out there, you know that. We don't pull any punches anywhere. We talk straight out there, too. But I talk straight to you because you're my children here. And I want you to be good children. If you're going to spearhead this thing, then you need to be full of the Spirit. You need to be stirred up. You need to be concerned. You don't need to be a hypocrite. You need to be what you are. You don't need to be running around like a bunch of babies fighting and bickering with one another. And you need to get in here and put some support in God. Help the ministry. Not give me money, but help the ministry to go on. There's printing that needs to go out. There's tapes that need to go out. There's a lot of things that need to be done. You need to get in here and coordinate. We was talking today about Brother Toby having to do with the fire marshal around you, trying to protect you. You need to coordinate with him. If he comes into your office and he sees piled up paper or he sees something going wrong that needs to be looked into, he thinks it might be a fire hazard. Well, that's his job. You don't need to resent him and say, well, who do you think you are? You don't think he's nobody. He's what we appointed him to be. That's what we ask him to be, folks. You made him at the men's meeting. You ought to have enough God about you if you ordain somebody into something to at least regard them in a respectful way. If I'm your pastor, you need to acknowledge it. You need to respect that. You need to respect what I say. I made this statement a number of times. Some of the governors are always grumbling because the brethren won't obey them. But little wonder, inasmuch as the governors won't obey me, how can they obey you? You always want to do something on your own. You never want to do what I tell you to do or what I ask you to do. Or tell the brethren something I've asked you to do. You're always coming up with something brand new that you think of that you want to do. And usually it don't mount to a hill of beans when you want to do it. There's some things that does mount to a hill of beans that I need done that you could help me with if you would. And stop acting like a child, pouting and finding fault. How can you expect the children to be in a better condition? The Bible said the children's teeth is on edges because the parents eat sour grapes. If you'll leave the sour grapes alone, the children's teeth will get off edges. That's the trouble with them now. Let's sing a little chorus together. The parents are supposed to lay up for the children. How many of you know that? Don't be wise in your own conceit, brethren. Some of you fellas think you're really smart. But if you're smart, you'd learn how to be smart. So that proves you're not very smart. You know how to be smart? The Bible said, become a fool. If you want to be wise in God, become a fool. For God has chose the foolish and the base things of the world to confound you that are smart, wise. So you're not smart. You're not wise. If you're wise, the first thing you'd choose is to be a fool so you could be wise in God. Let's sing this little chorus together. We sang the chorus, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." I don't want God to pass me by. You know, He's passed some of you by already. That's right. He's passed some of you by. That's why that you don't make the right decision. I made this statement today. How do you remember Ahithophel in the Bible? Ahithophel was a wise man. What he said was like the wisdom of God. You know why? Because he was a faithful man. He was one of David's counselors. He was one that God could depend on. Anytime David needed advice, as wise as David was, and David being a prophet. That's right. There's wise men that have advised prophets. David being a prophet. But this man was a wise man. Jesus said, "I've sent wise men among you, killed them." This man was a wise man, and David would go to him and counsel with him and ask him for his advice. And the Bible said his counsel was like that of God. But the day that he turned against David, from that time on, the Bible said that God turned his wisdom into foolishness. Finally got so discouraged that he went out and killed himself. He hung himself. That's what's happened to a lot of you. God would have given you wisdom, but you can't have wisdom without trying to use it to tear the pastor down, to tear down the kingdom of God, to swindle everything you can out of the brethren's hands or out of the pastor's hands, or to resent and be jealous, conniving. That's right. Lusting after your neighbor's wife. The Bible said when you're fed to the full, you're like a bunch of horses, every man neighing after his neighbor's wife. Said, won't God visit for that kind of thing? A lot of these tent evangelists, showboys, adulterers is what it is. They love to see the ladies shout and dance and act up. That's the only inspiration they got. They don't know nothing about the inspiration of God. The inspiration of their tent meeting is when the women get all shook up. They don't have much time for the men. You love the Lord? How do you know God was a man? Hallelujah. Who was he? The man Christ Jesus. Somebody said, but the Bible said God's not a man. I know God's a spirit. How do you know God's a spirit? How do you know that that spirit was the Word? How do you know the Bible said that Word was made flesh? How do you know that flesh was a man? Right back where we started. So then, what we need to do is to love one another with a real pure love. To treat the sisters as holy, pure sisters, with a pure mind. Treat the men the same way. Women with shamefacedness, sobriety. All humility and respect. Make Bethlehem a great place. A place to come together. Don't be wise in your own conceit. Don't be conniving. Don't do that, folks. All that's going to run out. That's going to run out. You're not fooling, Brother Pike. You come around with your flattery. You're not fooling me. Some of you that try to flatter me, you're not fooling me. I know the Bible said you dig a pit for a man when you flatter him. Some of you are smarter than that. You're real cunning. You come and tell me about those that flatter me, but that you're not like that. What you're doing is trying to flatter me in another way. You're trying to be cunning and get around it in another way. Flatter me in another way by telling me of the flattery of the others that you're not like that. But your flattery is to try to convince me that you're not like that. Coming in another way. I know that one too. I've met that same devil too. That's a devil. But you know what God is a manifested proof. When you love somebody, you love him indeed, you prove it. You're not always upset. You're not always complaining. You're not always finding fault. You're not always tearing the brethren down. You're not always accusing. Come on, folks. The devil's a devil. Isn't that right? I don't like him, do you? David said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. That's one thing you can hate and feel good about it. So then, let's love one another. Let's don't be cunning and crafty. Don't convince me of nothing with your words. Let me see your deeds. The child's known by his doings. Don't tell me you love me. I don't want my wife telling me she loves me. I don't want her telling me. I want her to show me. That's right. Let her show me that she loves me. The words will take care of themselves. If you love somebody, then show them. If you want to help somebody, then show them. Don't spend all your life trying to figure out how to connive and undermine. Don't you know God knows what you're doing? But get honest and get straight with yourself and with God. Just be what you are, and God will love you, and you'll love one another, and you'll get along all right. And I'll tell you what, out the end of the road out here, God's got something for you. And doing this life, He's got something for you. He'll give you a good companion, young lady. He'll give you a good wife, young man. That's right. He'll give you a good home. He'll give you a good job. He'll give you a good income. But if you don't do right, He'll give you a good whipping. Okay, let's sing this song together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art called, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me. Oh, say. Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art called, oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing that chorus with me again? While you're singing it, I want you just to examine yourselves in your heart and say, Lord, am I sincere? Am I really sincere? Am I honest with myself? You know, some folks ain't even honest with their own selves. And say, God, am I honest with myself? You know, a lot of times you try to tell your wife something, and you try your best to convince her, when truthfully, down in your heart, if you take about 5 minutes, you'd find out that you're not even convinced yourself. You're not right in what you're trying to tell her. You understand what I'm saying? Like Ahithophel, you're giving out something, but you haven't prayed lately. You haven't sought God lately. Giving out prophecy, but you haven't prayed lately. And it's not coming out as God. And what you're saying is not coming out as God. What you're doing is not coming out as God. You understand what I'm saying? But if you'll pray and seek God and get the wisdom of God, like the Hebrew children, the skill and understanding of God, then when you talk to your wife, it'll be right. She might not see it, but she'll have to come to it. Then when you talk to your brother, it'll be right. He might not accept it then, but he'll have to come to it. And he'll see it and begin to trust in you and know that God's in your life. And know that you can help him and know that you can advise him. I thought about our brother today, fixing to make a business deal. He come out today. He wouldn't make it till he come and talk with us. Wasn't any reason for him to come and talk with me. He's 10 times the businessman I am. I mean, I'm not saying that for flattery or just some kind of being modest. He's 10 times the businessman I am. But he wouldn't make it till he come talk with me. I want to know why. He said he felt like I understood the mind of the Lord Jesus. See, whether I do or not, he felt like I did. You understand what I'm saying? People have confidence in you. Then you're able to lead them, able to help them. My wife gives sound advice a lot of times. A lot of ladies come to her for wisdom and understanding because she gives sound advice. But now if she don't obey her husband, she gets like Ahithophel. You ladies better watch out. Amen. You love the Lord? All right, let's sing this chorus. Now, she gives out good sound advice. She's helped a lot of homes, a lot of people, because she's sincere in her heart. She evaluates right. She realizes the heartaches. She realizes it's a matter of your home and your life. And she tries to tell you the right thing. Young girls come to her for counsel. One was there today, wanting to know what to do. Let's sing that again, can we? I love you, folks. I really do. I ain't trying to make believe or trying to prove it to you by a lot of words. I love you. If I can help you, I'll help you. But I ain't going to flatter you. I ain't going to flatter you. But I love you. Hallelujah. You say, you mean you're not going to try to lift me up? I can't. I think you're the greatest person in the world to start with. How can I lift you up? And somebody said, look at that. You done what you said you wasn't going to do. No, I didn't. I told the truth. I think they're the grandest people in the world. If you know any better, I'd like for you to introduce me to them. That ain't flattery. That's just the plain truth. Sons of God, that's the best people that ever lived. How many of you know that? One writer said, I saw so great a people, never been a great people like this on earth before. I saw them come up. This is them. Okay, let's sing that together again, can we? Oh, Savior. Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art called, oh, do not pass me by. Go leave it there, oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it again. Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me. Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust
and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Hallelujah. How many of you would really like to take it to God and leave it there? Would you? Maybe we can sing one more chorus, and then I'll let you go. How many of you are going to remember the meeting over in the Carolinas to pray for it? Pray for it. Fast a little bit. And come over to it. If you don't like my preaching, you can listen to Brother Wilson. You like his. And you can listen to his. So you'll have a double hipping over there. I don't know when we'll get to go to Sweden. But I want you to pray about us going over there. The boy wrote a long letter. He must have wrote 5, 6, 8, 10 pages. I don't know how many. But he was pleading for us to come before communism could get a hold. And I want you to pray that the Lord will help us to go over there. I'm not asking you to send me. The Lord's already sent me. That's right. He said, where do you get that? The Bible said, he that God sendeth. So he's already sent me. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. I want you to pray for me. And if you pray for me, the Lord will take care of the rest of it. Just pray that he'll have his way, that I'll know what to do, and that I'll do whatever he lets me know. Let's sing one more chorus and I'll let you go home. I know you're probably tired and you wish I'd shut up. You know, I'm a countrified preacher. I don't try to be countrified. You know, a country boy don't have to be countrified. He's already countrified. John lived in the wilderness. He didn't have to try to act like he'd come out of the wilderness. That's where he'd been all his life. So I don't have to act countrified. I am countrified. And I know that I'm not very polished. And I don't sing like a canary. And I'm not a great orator. But I am a son of God. And if I try to tell you something, try to help you, then though rough it may sound, yet I'm trying to tell you something that will help you. I tell you these things to cut off all occasions, folks. You know, the devil's got a lot of ways he tries to get at the man of God, in a lot of ways that he tries to pervert the man of God. And how many of you know that all of those ways are a manifestation of the carnal mind? A carnal-minded person will manifest the devil every day in the week, because that's what the carnal mind is enmity with God. But the Bible says to be spiritually minded. That's to be biblically minded. Be the mind of Christ. Be spiritually minded. Think on holy things, righteous things, pure things, loving things, virtuous things. Anything's got any virtue in them, Paul said, think on these. Be holy, be pure, be righteous. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus, and then we'll be dismissed. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. Sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus.